Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
MK Asante was born in Zimbabwe to American parents, a mother who led the New Nations Dance Company, and a father who would soon become a revered pioneer in black studies. A little more than a decade later, he found himself alone in North Philadelphia, his mother in a mental hospital, his father gone, his older brother locked up in a prison on the other side of the country, forced to find his own way to survive physically, mentally, and spiritually by any means necessary. He tells the story in his memoir, Buck, and it's a great pleasure to welcome MK Asante to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's very nice to have you aboard. At what time in your life did you know that you wanted to tell this story?
Oh, wow, that's a great question. At what time in my life? I think it was about 2 years ago because, you know, obviously the story happened to me, but there comes a time in your life when you finally feel ready to deal with something, and I finally felt ready to deal with this about 2 years ago, and that's when I started working on this book.
The title, as I mentioned, is Buck, and that has multiple meanings, it seems, in the book.
It definitely does. You know, young buck, buck wild, buck shots, buck town, slave buck, black buck, make buck, buck now. You know, buck is a loaded term. That's why I wanted to, you know, I've written some books before, and they all had these long titles, and I wanted in subtitles and all that stuff, and I wanted a title that was really just straight to the point, but yet had a lot of meaning and substance. So buck is one of those titles, you know, to call someone a young buck is how we call each other in Philly growing up. A buck is a derogatory term for, you know, a black man during slave times. Buck means to make a buck. Buck means to go wild, to go buck wild, to buck shots in the air. And then finally to buck the system, to rebel. And I chose buck for all of those reasons. It all pertains.
In writing the book, the style is very you. It's very authentic. It's very much your voice. Is that at all a challenge? Was that a challenge in writing, or does it make it more natural and free?
Well, both. You know, on the one hand, the challenge is getting to that place where you can write freely without that filter and without trying to sound like how you think you should sound and just kind of sounding like how you sound. And so it takes kind of a good deal of mental and psychological work to get to a point where you trust yourself enough to write in the way and in the voice that is most authentic. But the other part that you hit on was, yeah, once you get to that point, then it's incredibly liberating and free.
This book, obviously, is music plays a very critical role in it, and it's almost a thread of the book. It helps weave it together.
Definitely, you know, music was a huge. I mean, music has always been kind of a soundtrack in my life and in my story, and so music helps kind of elucidate certain points and illustrate things, and so I found the music, the lyrics. You know, everyone I grew up with in Philly, we had what we call hip-hop Tourette's. So that basically means, you know, we spit out lyrics at different times, random times, and we couldn't really control it. And so the music played a huge part in my life. I also wanted to show how what we listened to and what I was listening to kind of influenced certain actions and how when my actions change, the music also changed. And eventually in the book, I find my own voice. And those are the lyrics that I then began quoting.
And yeah, because you talk about the poetry that you found in the work of Tupac and Jay-Z, but also in what we would call the classic literature of Whitman and Orwell and Kerouac, and even your mother's own diary.
Yeah, definitely. You know, my mom's journal entries, her diary is woven throughout the book. I used to secretly read it, and her writing is beautiful. Everyone who reads it, I mean, they talk about the power and precision of her words. And she writes about very, you know, raw and real things in a way that's beautiful and honest. And then, yeah, you know, when I discovered writers like Kerouac and Ginsberg and those guys from the Beat Generation, those were the first writers that I ever read. Those were the first writers that I ever connected to. Those were the first writers that I ever, you know, those were the guys that made me say, oh, I want to be a writer. Those were the guys that made me say, I didn't know you could write things like that. I didn't know you could talk about subject matter like that and could use that kind of language when you write. Those were the guys that influenced me. They were rebels, they were rule breakers, and so was I. And so that had a tremendous amount of influence.
You're a professor of creative writing and film at Morgan State University. Can you teach what you've gone through in the sense that your story is so unique? Do you find it to be more universal than we would think?
Yeah, I think we all have unique stories, but I think that there are certain things within our stories that are universal, and those are the threads that relate to people, and that's why people can connect to Buck or any other piece of literature. I mean, think On the Road was written, you know, over 50 years ago, and here this little kid from Philadelphia, this little black kid from Philadelphia picks it up, and it helps to transform his life. So it kind of shows you how, you know, Kerouac and MK, you know, completely different paths, different time periods, different styles, different everything, different parents, different, you know, orientations, ideologies, yet something about that book resonated with me, and that's how literature works. I mean, it finds that universal thread. And so in terms of teaching, what I try to do is empower students to find their own voice. You know, it's not going to sound like me, of course, it's going to sound like them, but to find the best you possible.
When you were growing up and you've hit this bottom, what was your realization of what was going on, that there was a path that you were going down that was not good? And were you looking at something or realizing something that was another way that you were seeking?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there were so many moments, you know, definitely the blank page, you know, when I first got confronted with the blank page, you know, a teacher put a blank piece of paper in front of me and told me to write. And I said, well, what do you want me to write? And she said, write anything you want. And that was the first time that I'd ever been given that kind of freedom, you know, in a classroom. It was usually about rote memorization and regurgitation. So the whole notion of writing whatever I want sounded almost ridiculous to me. And I challenged her. I wrote something, a curse word. And she told me to keep going. And that's what made me keep going and made me wonder, okay, well, what am I going to write? And so that was a moment that I think was pivotal for me, is the blank page. Another moment was when I was sitting in a jail cell on the 35th District in Philadelphia, and I kind of I came to a realization. Can I read you something from?
Please
this?
Do. Yes.
In this page, I say that decisions lead to options, options to choices, choices to freedom. We all design our own reality, write our own script, build our own house or prison or coffin. Me Against Law and Order is about being a true rebel, pushing against the grain, making my own path, bucking the system. I think about how this show I saw on the Nature Channel the other day about elephants, about how despite weighing up to 25,000 pounds and standing 13 feet tall, they can still be chained. How, I wondered. It starts when they're babies. Some puts a metal chain attached to a wooden peg nailed into the ground around the baby elephant's foot. The baby elephant struggles but fails to break free and learns at that very moment not to struggle. That struggle is useless. Later on, even when the elephant can easily break free, it doesn't. I look around the 35th precinct at all these sad, hard, gray, black faces and see nothing but elephants. So that was a moment for me that was pivotal because, you know, I started to kind of realize what was going on around me, the traps. And the blank page was also that moment. I say, I write, you know, the blank page is the starter pistol that fires and triggers my mind to sprint. I stare at the blank page, an ocean of white alive with possibility. I hear myself take a breath, then exhale, deep, like I just rose from underwater. It's like I'm at the free throw line again, foul shots, like the game is on the line again. I remember something my dad told me, shoot to make it. My hand shaking, trembling like it's freezing. Then it hits, a silence louder than all the music I've heard in my life, all the light in the world in one beam before me. I stare into the blank page and see myself. I feel something I've never felt before, purpose. I don't know what my exact purpose is yet, but I know it has something to do with this pen and this blank page. I am a blank page.
It's a beautiful thing to, well, certainly to hear you read, and certainly a beautiful thing to read in the book. I have to say that when I was reading it, it seems that there's a transition from the point where you, with that purpose, and in the finding of that purpose, there is almost a stopper that comes out of the bottom of the tub that drains much of the rage that you had, that the rage then becomes art.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think for so many youth today and throughout history, it's always been about channeling that energy. You know, it's energy, and that energy can, you know, when we don't have outlets to express ourselves and to express how we feel, that energy turns into rage, and that rage can turn into all types of chaos. You know what I mean? When we have channels to express ourselves, it allows that energy to take a lot of different forms, not just anger, you know? And so, yeah, it was important. I think once I found a place that I could channel that energy and that rage into, it transformed me.
When you look at your work now, and you're a writer and a filmmaker and a musical artist and a professor, how do you define yourself? What is the, is there a career goal in the sense of what you would like to concentrate on? Or is it always going to be that blank page?
Well, the blank, I like the notion of the blank page because you got to fill it up. You know, you got to fill it up, and you can fill it up with whatever you want. But in terms of kind of defining myself, I'm an artist. And that's how, you know, to me, writing is art. Filmmaking is art. Music is art. And even teaching, in a way, is an art. And so for me, the highest, most noble title I could ever call myself is an artist.
The name of the new memoir is Buck. It is published by Random House. M.K. Asante, I thank you so much for joining us this morning and for sharing. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, man.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the title of the book is Buck. It is published by Random House. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.